Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to look in the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And I want to just offer another challenge tonight, that this year would be a year of extraordinary faith demonstrated in our lives. A year of extraordinary faith in our lives. I got a book. Actually, I got a couple of books for Christmas. And when I picked up the one book and started reading this book, a young man who is now 29 years old, pastors a church in South Carolina. He's the writer of this book. The church is only 6 years old, and he's a little Methodist guy. And but he had a vision to start a church in Charleston, I believe it is, South Carolina. And he just looked over the fact that all of those who offer their advice and counsel as far as planning churches, they said that most of the major cities in South Carolina are already saturated. And as a matter of fact, they called Charleston the church planner's graveyard. In other words, you're not going to get anywhere here because there's hundreds of other churches, especially Southern Baptist churches, all over the Carolinas. But he felt inclined and called to go to South Carolina and start a church. Lots of struggles in the beginning days, difficulties in those beginning days. I believe they've been there 6 years. And but him and one of his co-workers and friends that was helping him in this church start in South Carolina, they were driving by a big coliseum of some sort, and he gave the name of it, and I don't remember the name of it, but a big ball, a place where they play basketball or football or whatever. And as they were driving by, there was a major rock star that was there, and they were lined up outside of the doors, long line of people to get in to see this rock star by the name of Bono. And so they were passing by, and those two young men began to dream and began to pray, and they said, "We're going to ask God that this same thing will happen for us soon. And they'll be lined up to come into our service outside the doors, just like they are to see this rock star." 6 years later, that happened on an Easter Sunday. There were so many people coming into this church. Now, I don't know a lot about the church. What little I do know about it, I'm sure that it's not necessarily a church like our church. It has its uniqueness about it. But now thousands of people are in this church. And one of the things that impressed me about this young man was his dedication to God, his dedication to his family. And to he gave the account of how that whenever he met his wife, that the first time that he kissed his wife was on their wedding day. And he went through a long list of things that convinced me that this is no ordinary young man. Even though he may have unconventional ways, but I'm reading about an amazing faith. And it's in this book that I got the quote. This young man's name is Stephen Furtick. Not a very impressive name even, is it? Stephen Furtick. But this is the quote. Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. And that takes me to our text in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, there's absolutely no way that Moses could have understood at that particular time the significance of what had been happening to him for 40 years. He was fully trained by God in leading sheep through the wilderness, and he was very familiar with the exact terrain and the exact areas that eventually God was going to use him to lead the children of Israel through. His lifestyle for 40 years was everything but what he had experienced in the beginning of his life. Raised up Pharaoh's house with all the riches and the privilege and the education and all the things that he had available to him. But now he has spent 40 years, and no doubt God had arranged all of the circumstance of his life and sent him down to Egypt so he could get some on-the-job training for the task that he couldn't have ever imagined that God was going to use him to do. And that was this huge task of leading millions of people, no doubt millions of people, into the wilderness and to lead them toward the promised land. The angel of the Lord, verse 2, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I'll stop right there. Now this was an ordinary day for Moses. And for 40 years this had been his daily job. Not a very impressive thing. Just a very commonplace, ordinary job. And the sheep that he was caring for, they weren't even his. They belonged to his father-in-law. He was working for his father-in-law. And he was down in a wilderness, desert place, no doubt living a very humble existence. And probably was thinking that my life is going to be lived out in this kind of existence. But little did he know that he was born, as we talked about this morning, he was born for a divine purpose. Not just Moses, but every one of us. We have been called of God, equipped of God, gifted by God. We all have a place, we all have a calling, and God wants to work in your life to fulfill his plan for you. No exceptions. Everybody here in this sanctuary here tonight, we need to get in step with the purpose of God. The plan of God. What is it that he's wanting to do? And it may be that in 2011, that you may have your burning bush experience. You'll have that encounter with God where God begins to unveil his plan for you. And it's out of our faithful, daily, ordinary lives, our daily existence, just living out our daily responsibilities, that God will just break into that and He will reveal to you His mighty hand in your behalf. Praise God. So this, I believe, can be, for a lot of us, a year of extraordinary faith. This can be a year of seeing God do some wonderful and extraordinary things. You know, the very beginning of our walk with the Lord required faith. Amen. If you're saved here tonight, it's because you heard the Word of God and you believed it and you acted in faith upon the Word of the Lord. And that's how you have become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, as an act of faith. But the Scripture says in Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so it is by faith that you are saved, and it's by faith that you live out the days of your life with His favor. Amen. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. That God will reward us. He will reward us if we'll be diligent and faithful to seek His face. Amen. But it requires that we hear the voice of God and that we act in obedience to the Word of the Lord. Now Moses was reluctant. He was fearful. He was hiding in this great task that he had. But finally, and I won't go through all the details and repeating the various things that happened to bring Moses finally to that place that he understood and was thoroughly convinced that now he was the one that God was going to use to go in. Now he had to be completely convinced because he went right into Pharaoh's court and began to issue the command, "Let my people go." This was this quiet, unassuming man who was fearful at the voice of the Lord, but now he's convinced. He has believed the voice of the Lord, and now he is moving in bold faith. Amen. Just like this young man who said to his friend, "I just believe if we'll pray driving by this Colosseum, that God can cause there to be a long line of people to come into our service, just like that they're lined up to go into this rock and roll concert." And 6 years later, on Easter Sunday, I believe it was this year, 2010, that thousands of people, I don't remember exactly how many people, but were in line at the very same place. They had to rent that Colosseum to get all of the people into those services. Bold faith. Bold faith. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult for us, but when you read the book of Acts, you'll see that God was a God of big and wonderful, mighty things. Amen. When you just look at the very beginning of that first century church and the kind of power that was demonstrated on their behalf as Peter stood up to preach the gospel to that generation of unbelievers, they were convicted. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart and 3,000 souls were saved. Now we say that was just because that was the beginning of the church, and we could never expect that anything like that could ever happen. But I do believe that if we'll be a people who will expect that God will do some great and mighty things in our life, and we begin to step out in wonderful faith, extraordinary faith, and to see a move of God. You know, again, we talked about this Friday night. Mindset is something that really hinders us in our faith. Amen. It really hinders us in our faith because we assume and we just have come to the conclusion, maybe I'm just assuming that some of us have come to this conclusion that, you know, because of who we are, we're Pentecostals, we're conservative, we're a little bit old-fashioned in some of the ways that we do, that there's no possible way that we could ever see a move of God where this building is filled to overflowing. Don't listen to that lie. Don't listen to that lie. God provided in His providence. God has provided previous years and under other pastors that this building would be here. It would be established, and the very location where it's at. And it was all provided by the Lord and ordained by God. We are here for a purpose, and we have got a lot of room in this building for a lot of people. And I believe it's the will of God that we fill it up with seekers, hungry people who are hungry for God. Amen. Now, if a city like Charleston, who's supposed to be the church planter's graveyard, because there's so many hundreds and hundreds of Southern Baptist and other denominational churches in that city, then we need to not worry about the fact that there's a lot of churches in London, Kentucky. Let me tell you, there are thousands of people who never go to any church every Sunday in this community right here. And you also need to remember the fact that we live in a world now where people, you know, if there's a move of God, they'll drive. They, you know, listen, we used to live in an age whenever people, they had the little services, what do they call those services? Hazel Green had it one night, and Carmichael had it one night, and they did that because everything was kind of community oriented. Everybody just went to this little small little community area. But we don't live in that world anymore. We live in a world where people, they don't care to drive to Richmond or to Lexington. They'll do it every week if they feel inclined. They'll go there to shop. They'll drive up there to eat a meal. We live in a much bigger world now. And so we need to think not in terms of just the fact that we have a few thousand people that live in London, Kentucky, and 60,000 people that live in Laurel County. But we need to remember that God has called us, I believe, to be even a regional church that's affecting surrounding areas and even the counties around us where people are lost and away from God. And our vision needs to be bigger. Our mindset is small. And God needs to enlarge our thinking. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm ready to buy chairs for the balcony. Actually, you could get another entire row of chairs, at least one, across the back. I think it'd be wonderful if we had to put so many chairs on the platform that we would have to say, okay, now some of you are going to have to come up here and sit on the platform because there's not enough room for our visitors back there. I believe that the Lord, He wants to stir our hearts to extraordinary faith. Amen. And let's begin to step out and believe God. Believe God. Believe His Word. Believe that He's got some wonderful, mighty things that He wants to do right here at this location. If we'll pay the price, if we'll pray, if we'll work, if we'll seek the Lord, if we'll fast, there's no limitation to what God can do because there are so many other hungry hearts. You know, if people come to our church from other churches, that's between them and the Lord. But really, our primary focus is this. There are thousands of people within our reach that don't know the Lord. They're away from God. They need to know God. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we need to change our mindset to understand that all of us here together, collectively, this group here tonight, we are not in the audience, and just a few players involved, but we are the players. We're the players. The audience is outside of these walls. You and I, we're the team. We're the ones that need to be working together, praying together, and allowing God to enlarge our vision to the wonderful and mighty things that He wants to do right here in London, Kentucky, in our church, and move mightily for us if we'll catch the vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is not just a pep rally tonight. I'm not just trying to pep you up and make you think it can happen. I want you to walk out of this service tonight with a seed of faith planted in your heart that you're believing God could really do some big things. God could really do some amazing things, some wonderful things. And it could happen in the ordinary faithfulness of our lives. Just be faithful to God. Amen. I gave the analogy or the illustration Friday night of the football stadium that's full of 40,000 people, 50,000 people, and only 22 people are down there on the field. All those thousands of people. Now, if If a great number of those people, if several thousand of those people didn't show up, the game would just go right on. But if a third of those players didn't show up, the ball game would be in trouble. And everything would be changed. And that's why our mindset has to be changed for us to understand that if you're not here on Wednesday night, we are going to be greatly hindered in accomplishing the purpose of God. If you are not here on Sunday morning on time, we are going to be greatly hindered in the work of the Lord. If you are not here on Sunday night, if you're not here in the other opportunities that God gives to us, then we are not going to be able to fulfill the plan of God that God has given to us. We're not going to win. We're not going to be able to see the victories that God wants to give to us. When our mindset is such that we're just a part of the audience, then we can think, oh, nobody will notice Wednesday night. They won't notice. I'm wore out. I'm tired. And I can't really go. No, you just go. You go because you understand. Your mindset is, I'm part of the team. If I'm not there to help pray, if I'm not there to help encourage, if I'm not there to fulfill my role and my part in my ministry, then the church is not going to be able to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Glory to God. Make up your mind and ask God to change your mindset so that you could understand that we have a calling, we have a purpose. And if this year is to be a year of extraordinary blessing, extraordinary faith, it'll come out of our ordinary faithfulness, our ordinary duties, our ordinary responsibilities. Amen. Just come on to the house of God. Be here, be in your place, fulfill your role, fulfill your calling. There'll be times, and there are services when you're thinking, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Friday night at 5 till 7, there were 6 people here. And I'd really put a lot of time into that service. I prayed about it. I had prepared. I was sitting here on the front seat thinking, the team ain't going to make it tonight. Team ain't going to make it tonight. We're not going to be able. But eventually, a lot of the team came on in. And we're here Friday evening. But here we are on Sunday, this first Sunday of the new year. Do you know that God can change the rest of the 51 weeks of this year? If we'll get a hold of God, if we'll believe God, if we'll allow the seed of faith to be planted in our hearts and do what God has called us to do. Henry Drummond said, unless a man undertakes more than he possibly can do, he will never do all that he can do. It's overwhelming to consider the fact that God's plan and God's will would be to fill up the Sunday school classes and the youth ministry and to fill up the seats and the pews of this building. It's overwhelming to consider the fact that that would be the plan of God and we would miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on it. You know, we've only got one life to give to God. Why do we just want to give Him just a little piecemeal, just the little scraps of our life? Why is it that we can't catch the vision and believe God that we want to give ourselves wholly to this cause, wholly to this purpose, and catch the vision for what God wants to do and then step out in bold faith, extraordinary faith? I love the story of Jabez, and I go back to it often. I did a few weeks ago whenever we spoke to the youth in their day of challenge. Because that little 2 verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 are so inspiring to me when I read about Jabez, because he was a nobody. He had nothing. As a matter of fact, he was born... And it says he was born in sorrow. His name, his identity was sorrow. Jabez literally means pain or sorrow. Amen. That was who he was. That was his identity. And but it says in verse 9, chapter 4, 1 Chronicles, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. He didn't have a very easy start. And if it was because his mother had pain and sorrow in childbirth, some commentaries say it really relates more to the life circumstance. No father is mentioned, probably poverty, and the whole circumstance of his life was just trouble and problem and pain and sorrow. And that was the beginning. And you wonder, how did he ever reach up out of that pit of sorrow and despair? How did he ever do that? But in verse 10, which is one of the most amazing verses, in that one verse 10 of chapter 4, that is Jabez's prayer. It's not a long prayer, but he called out to God. And that's what we're going to have to do. If we're going to see God move for us the way that we long for and we desire, we're going to have to call out to God and ask God to work in our behalf. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." It encourages me, because there's nothing wrong with asking God, "Lord, bless our ministry. Lord, bless every part of our work and our efforts and our church. Bless our church. Bless our families. Bless every individual, everyone that walks in the door of this building. Lord, that your favor and blessing would be upon them. Lord, bless them." There's nothing wrong with asking God to bless us. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Where did all this faith come from? His life and his beginnings was trouble and sorrow. And that was his existence. But somehow, he had gotten a hold of a confidence and a faith in God that caused him to reach up and say, "Oh God, bless me. Bless me. And enlarge my coast." There's nothing wrong with asking God to give us a greater opportunity in ministry. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord, "Lord, change our mindset so that we don't think that we are a London city church, but that we are a regional church. That God has placed us as a ministry to this region for a purpose." Hallelujah. "That the word of the Lord would be declared." You don't have to compromise the Word of God. You don't have to compromise Bible principle to see God move supernaturally. If you will honor the Lord and you'll follow the plan and the purpose of God, God will do what He's promised that He will do. He said, "Enlarge my coast." He was literally saying, "Expand my borders. Expand the borders. Give us more space. And that your hand might be with me." That's what he was asking for. "Lord, your favor. God, that your hand would be upon me. And that I would have your blessing and your favor and your divine help and protection upon me. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." There's nothing wrong with praying, "Lord, fill us up. Fill this building up with hundreds and hundreds of people seeking after the Lord. And help us to maintain our purity. Help us to maintain our integrity. Help us to maintain the truth of God's Word." A lot of people feel like, well, if a big influx of people comes in, then we're going to be tempted to cave in on what we believe as far as convictions and the truth of God's Word. It doesn't have to be that way. Just pray the prayer. "Oh God, Lord, enlarge our coast. And keep us from evil. Keep us pure and holy. And help us, Lord, to live in such a way as to please God." I have a real strong conviction that I've had ever since, actually from the very beginning days that I started in the ministry, was that there is a hunger. And I believe you heard Brother Conlon mention this in his message Friday night for those that were here. That I believe that there will be those, as we get closer to the end of this age, there are those that are hungering and thirsting after a genuine move of God. There is a hunger for the Word of the Lord. There's a hunger for truth. And that God, in the last days before Jesus comes, He's going to stir up a people. And there will be those who will be coming in to the house of God, hungering after righteousness and hungering after the Word of the Lord. What an amazing, amazing prayer. You know, you need to pray a big faith prayer. You need to pray an extraordinary prayer. Amen. Amen. In a lot of different areas of your life. There may be those in your family or those you're concerned about that their families are under attack and there are broken relationships and a divorce and things of that sort. You can pray about that and ask God to turn things around. You can ask God to bring healing Instead of bitterness and hatred and all of those things that are associated with things like that, God can turn things around if you call on the Lord and ask Him to do it. Amen. You can ask the Lord about things such as your financial needs. Amen. We're afraid. I don't know what's happened to us. You know, people so overreached, and there's been such a as far as faith is concerned, there's been such an abuse and a teaching and a preaching about faith and that's been so extra biblical that we're afraid to even talk about it. We're afraid to even believe that God has said, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'll be your supplier and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will bless you. I'll provide for you even in the areas of your finance." Ask God for big things, great things, so that you can invest in the kingdom of God and God can do some great and mighty things around here. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Nothing wrong with asking God to give you a job, Brother James. Nothing wrong with that. With asking God to take care of you and work out in the situation that you're in. There's nothing wrong with us getting a hold of God and believing God for some of these that we've been praying for that are battling. I believe what's happening to Brother Huff is just an attack of the enemy against him. We're affected by it. The community is affected by it. And the enemy, he's a liar. And we need to get a hold of God. We need to call out to God with bold faith. Lord, raise him up and strengthen his body and restore him into his ministry and cause these latter years of his ministry to be even greater than anything that he's ever accomplished for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Your lost family. Or maybe in the areas, I'm just going through a list of things that potentially are great big things that you're not even really praying about. You're just kind of accepted it as the way it's going to be. Overcoming temptation. Some areas in your life where you just can't seem to get over it. You can't seem to have victory in that area. Or even understanding the purpose of God for your life. You're wondering what's going on, where I'm at, and things aren't falling in place. But you can ask the Lord to give you divine direction and wisdom and ask Him for great and mighty things and ask Him to do it in 2011 if it would be His will. Amen. Glory to God. How about ministry tools and resources that God, He can supply. He can take care of big things that we're in need of and things that will advance the cause of the work of the ministry. I believe that God can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have already our services online. You know, that could even be expanded unbelievably. And we could expand in the area of radio ministry. And we could expand even in TV ministry. There's so many potential outreaches that God can give to us that we need to ask the Lord. Lord, if it's your will, then you supply abundantly what we need. And not only that, but you supply the people, the workers who have the gifts and the talents to fulfill all these ministries and to see them flourishing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Ask God, and this is one of mine that I'm asking for. God, give us momentum. Amen. Amen. Give us some momentum. Amen. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, the few that are on the platform feel a tremendous amount of pressure. You feel like you're in a push. 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 Let's make it happen. Let's sing them happy. Let's try to preach and keep their attention. And God, give us some momentum. Amen. Glory to God. And ask the Lord for some wonderful things, some mighty things that He wants to give to His people. I believe He wants us to act boldly on the promises of God. I was in Walmart the other day, and I was looking for a 2011 calendar. I was looking for something that had scriptures on it or spiritual or something and didn't have all these crazy people on the calendars. And I was flipping through all this. And someone come up behind me, and it was Harry Ormsby. And, of course, he had some interesting things to say to me. And we were talking about different things, the ministry outreach that we were just involved in. And suddenly, I lost him. He totally turned his attention away from me. And there were four young people, two boys and two girls who were college age, that were walking down the aisle. And he stepped in front of them and he said, "I've got something for you. I'm watching this. This is Harry. I'm watching him." He digs into his pocket and he's got some little pennies that were printed with the Ten Commandments on them. And he said, "Here, let me give you one of these." Of course, they're shocked. This old guy stopped him in the middle of Walmart. He gives them all one of these coins. And he said, "Me and Vernon here, we're old. We can't read very good. Read what that says on there." And so they're looking at it and they start reading the Ten Commandments. Of course, he could have seen it probably if I could have seen it with my bifocals. But I just was so amazed at his boldness. And he talked to them about the Lord, and he talked to them about giving their life to Jesus Christ, and he had such a boldness. You know, the people who win souls, people who are bold to share the gospel, amen. Bold to share the gospel, they reach the lost, they win people, and minister to people that are in need. And you know, there are people everywhere. Faye, I need to give you the report. Faye took the family one of the families of the mothers in jail. And she was a little backward about delivering the items. And so she went and took care of, you know, buying everything and getting all ready for them. And then she handed it off to me. And that's all right. And they actually came by the church, this family. They were the grandparents of the children that were being taken care of. Their daughter has been in jail for a year. And so as I began to talk to them, I could see that their face was downcast. They were embarrassed and ashamed. They were in a nice vehicle and a nice looking family. And their daughter's just in trouble. Has been in jail for a year, and this is the third time that she's been in jail on a drug-related charges. And she may have to go to a facility other than the local jail. They're not sure. Their faces are all downcast. And what I realized, I wasn't going to get nowhere with them unless I got honest with them. I said, "Now listen, folks. I may be the preacher here, but I've got a son. And he's been right up there at that same place where your daughter's at. And it broke my heart when I saw that." Immediately, they were listening to me. They couldn't believe it. The preacher? And then I realized, after I reflected on that whole experience of talking to them about the Lord, it was such a good experience. And they promised me that if she was able to be released sometime in the next this year, they promised me, we're going to bring her to the church. We'll bring her to a service. And I had a wonderful opportunity to talk to them about my own heartache and how that even in that trouble that I had, that God used that as a way to give me an open door. So I can even say, "Thank you, Lord, for the tragedy of my life that has given me an opportunity to reach out to these people that are in need." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, give us bold faith. Give us a confidence in God. Let's believe the Lord to do some wonderful things. Wonderful things. Mighty things. I mentioned this also on Friday night. Honestly, I can envision a nursery ministry that is so powerful that young couples are bringing their children to this church just because they want their babies and their small children to be in our nursery ministry. I can envision it. I can believe it. I can believe that we have such a powerful children's ministry here that families are coming in because they want their kids to be in that. I can envision a youth ministry that is so powerful that we're having to say, "Okay, Wednesday nights, we can't have church anymore on Wednesday night because this building is being filled up with teenagers. We're going to have to do something else." Amen. We're going to have to pray in the gym or something. Or I can envision it. I can believe it. I know that God, that's the heart of God. That's the will of God. But we're not asking God for big things. Many times, we just barely get here. We're so weary and we're so tired and we're so without faith. That's why we must be a people of the Word daily. We must be a people who are seeking the Lord with our whole heart, fasting and believing God to break through in our lives and give us a vision for what He wants to do in every area of this ministry here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Oh Lord, we thank You that You can stir our hearts and You can plant the seed of faith. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe You. We believe You. We believe Your Word. We believe what You can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're believing, God, that this very night You're going to touch hearts. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.